I would like to first make you a little bit familiar with the personality of Prabodhananda Sarasvati Thakur, whose wonderful work, The Nectarian Glories of Sri Vrindavan Dham, will be the basis of this lecture. Prabodhananda Sarasvati Thakur expresses in this work his deep felt appreciation for Vrindavan Dham, and he does so in a language which is so, let me say, direct and touching, that anyone who reads this and his other works cannot avoid but being really lifted to a platform where he feels some of the nectarian taste for Vrindavan Dham, which Prabodhananda Sarasvati must have felt when he wrote down this very nice work. Prabodhananda Sarasvati Thakur comes actually from South India. He is related to Venkatabhatta and Gopal Bhatta Goswami. They all came from down south and settled eventually in the town of Ranganath, Rangachetra, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent 4 months during the rainy seasons. He made his Chaturmasya there. These three, Prabodhananda and his brother Venkata and Venkata's son Gopal, had 4 months solid association with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gopal Bhatta's vision of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described in Bhakti Ratnakar. It is very moving. It's described how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with many, many, many thousands of people, entered the beautiful temple of Ranganath, and there began to dance while tears of love of Godhead came like, raining, like a ray of water out of his divine lotus eyes. And when Gopal, who was a very young boy at that time, beheld Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he saw all of a sudden how the whole scene changed, and he saw with his own eyes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing in Navadvip Dham, his eternal Dham. This transcendental vision of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's exquisite beauty and ecstatic emotions were never forgotten by Gopal, who later went to Vrindavan Dham and became the famous Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Now, this other, Prabodhananda, also saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and eventually, when he was a little older, went to Vrindavan and settled down in the forest called Kamyavan. In Kamyavan, you will still see today his beautiful bhajan kutir, which is seated idyllically at the banks of a lake. At least it was a lake when I was last time there. The dam is the external Drishyaman dam is quickly changing nowadays. And there, in Kamyavan, he wrote his very ecstatic Vrindavan Mahimamrita. It's interesting that he never forgot the divine personality of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and even in Vrindavan Mahimamrita, he speaks about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The reason why I want you to relish through the eyes of Prabodhananda, Sarasvati was yesterday actually given. If we want to ever experience bhakti rasa, that is the wonderful emotional, rich emotional taste of bhakti, then we need to be infected by either a divine shastra or by a bhakta, a personality of a devotee who has the power to put his own experience into our heart so that we can see through his eyes and through his experience. And I want to try to give you this experience. I must, like yesterday, say in a little personal note, that my body is in Krishna consciousness for over 30 years now. And only lately I have discovered a personal jewel which I would like to share with you. As many of you, I have been surprised that sometimes older devotees leave Krishna consciousness, and in their departure letter write, "I couldn't find any emotional fulfillment in this practice." I was surprised. What? No emotional fulfillment? But as I began to think more and more about it, my mind turned from the critical mode, where you just feel disturbed by something and then they criticize it, to a more, let me say, understanding mode. I believe that the fulfillment of our desires in Krishna consciousness and our emotional life in Krishna consciousness is extremely important if you do not wish to become either an automatic devotee who just follows with an automatic rhythm. You must be excited about Krishna consciousness. You must be actually eager. Oh, Krishna, Krishna, please give me your mercy. You must feel all this divine feelings stirring your soul, even at the beginning state of Krishna consciousness, so that finally you are, overwhelmed, yes, by the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the ocean of taste in Krishna consciousness, which comes at the stage of Ruchi. But even as a neophyte, it's important that you have some feeling for Krishna, some love for Krishna. Then only you are alive. I remember when Prabhupada installed the deities in Los Angeles, he gave a lecture where he said, the gist of the lecture was, be very careful, you're dealing with Krishna. You should feel that, oh Krishna, I have brought this insignificant thing to you. And as he was speaking, oh Krishna, I have brought this insignificant thing to you, referring to an offering, his voice started to break with emotions, and then he quickly had to finish the lecture by saying, please accept it, please accept it, and then, thank you very much, ping. And that was the close. He couldn't continue. And anyone who goes through an arid phase of his spiritual life goes through the desert, please listen to this lecture. The Los Angeles installation lectures of the deities, and become moved by Prabhupada, who's moved as a bhakta who comes before his Lord, whom he loves so much, with a little insignificant offering, and gives it to him, and then says, please accept it, please accept it. So yes, being moved by a bhakta. This is the subject matter of this reading. We want to read now from Vrindavan Mahimamrita. Now I must warn you, we will do some reading. That means you will have to be a little attentive. I would like to give you a tip. When we listen to Krishna Katha, we perform a devotional service. This sitting here at the feet of Giriraj is really a devotional service which should be done in that feeling of my service now is I will listen and try to get the concepts which are here. The statement with which I would like to start is that Prabhudananda Saraswati describes why it is our only chance to become elevated in Krishna consciousness, to go to Vrindavan and stay in Vrindavan. And this is how I would like to start this. He writes really that coming here is the only chance for a fool to advance in Krishna consciousness. Please, Prabhudananda Saraswati Thakur will use some very strong words which will at times knock at the door of your ego and break open that door. And you will have to become accustomed to a little transformative experiences while you listen. He says, about putting himself in the role of an ordinary conditioned soul, my body and senses are freely running after abominable material pleasures. Yet I have not attained the slightest happiness anywhere. We want to eat something. We want to see an interesting film. We want to see physical experience. But he says, I have not attained the slightest happiness anywhere. As a result of running after material pleasures, I have become completely blind and fully intoxicated. And the most surprising thing is that I seem to have become deaf to the words of my spiritual master. I can't hear any longer the divine instructions which come from Guru. It's surprising to me. And the scriptures and the well-wishers, they don't touch my heart any longer. Therefore, when will a most sinful person like me attain the shelter of Sri Vrindavan Dham? The reason why he says, if I just place my foolish body and mind on the ground of Vrindavan, I will experience the spiritual potency of the Dham. I remember I was invited by the Times of India, that's in newspaper in India, maybe like Bild Zeitung or Newsweek in America. No, Newsweek is more magazine. For an interview in the computer chat corner. It's called Under the Banyan Tree. And a question was raised to me and in the computer. Swamiji, why go on pilgrimage? It's so unpleasant and uncomfortable in these Indian villages. We like to stay in Bombay. And I answered, because in Vrindavan Dham you will find two shaktis which will make you alive. You dead Bombay person. It's the Taraka Shakti which liberates you from your material entanglement, and the Paraka Shakti, which attracts you to Krishna. These two Shaktis walk freely and unedited in Vrindavan to liberate and attract the conditioned soul. I gave an example. You are now like a tape recorder which doesn't play the song of God. You need to connect with the electrical current, and then you will get the minus and plus pole, which will move you. So in the same way, Vrindavan Dham is full of a bhakti current which flows as a big stream through Vrindavan Dham and just reaches everyone. And the current of bhakti is carried by something which is all over and will soon be in your lungs and in your brains. That is the dust of Vrindavan. It's impossible to keep a white dhoti in Vrindavan. Jai Gopal, please rise. Jai Gopal is for 1 month, please turn around, in Vrindavan, and this is the whiteness, he cannot go whiter, because the dust is catching him, running after him and carrying the current of Vrindavan. You will, when you come to New York or Tehran or Adelaide, I think it's an Australian town, or wherever you come from, you will miss the dust of Vrindavan blowing after you, running after you. Prabhupadananda Saraswati says that every dust particle of Braj carries the lotus footprint of Radha and Krishna, has been kicked up by their kicks. So therefore it has such power to even make a foolish person, that means someone who cannot listen to Guru and Shastra, either out of rebellion or out of just incapability to hear, it will make him, it will bring the bhakti shakti in there. Prabodhananda Saraswati even says, the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya are far away. Kali is very near. Without having an intense attachment for Vrindavan, how can one attain love of Godhead? This is his transcendental vision, where he says the only chance to for a foolish person is passive spirituality. That is, where you don't do anything, but the Dham does everything and touches you and runs after you and spreads the dust over you. You will see. I know that some of us have explained the typical German perspective. Germans only feel happy in Germany, where they can get bread and butter, and feel culturally estranged anywhere else. I know when I first came to the Holy Dharms, I felt, oh no, this is nothing for me. I'm these people are so different and horrible. And now I feel differently just by the mercy of the dust of Vrindavan. I actually like it here very much. Mm. So then Prabodhananda Saraswati, in a series of verses, explains a little bit about Vrindavan and its effect on the consciousness. We were saying Vrindavan Dham exerts an effect on the consciousness, and now he describes to us what that is. While residing in Vrindavan and singing about the nectarian beauty and pastimes of Sri Radha, I have become completely free from anxiety. See, this is what happens to someone who stays in Vrindavan and begins to increase his shravanam and kirtanam, his hearing and chanting. He will experience, like nowhere else in the world, that freedom from anxiety. I must tell you very honestly, I'm at the moment of my life in a terrible anxiety about something which is at the moment going to explode in Germany. It's just like a volcano. The lava has almost reached, and it will soon pour over a few pure souls. And I'm very much in anxiety, and sometimes couldn't sleep because of it. But now, staying Vrindavan Dham, saying, oh, it's all right. Yesterday, our Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj, who is so much in anxiety to build the Moscow temple, came here, and I saw there was a little, he was in a huge rush, internal rush. So I said, come with me, sit before Giriraj, and look on Giriraj. That's all, Maharaj, I have to do? Yes, that's all what you have to do. Then, after some time, I noticed how he was. And I asked him, how are you feeling, Maharaj? Oh, I feel something. I don't feel so much in anxiety. It started already in Mayapur, where I took bath in the Ganga, and then the anxiety was taken out of me. Therefore, Prabodhananda, now come a few very strong words. Get ready, fasten your seat belts. I may suffer, says, he doesn't wish to live leave Vrindavan. I may suffer millions of hellish conditions while residing in Vrindavan. Maybe thorns, maybe sunburn, maybe monkey bites, and so on. Yet my prayer is that as the most fallen soul, I may maintain the desire to never leave the service of Sri Radha's lotus feet. Even if I have to tolerate thousands of rebukes, you fool! Even if someone pierces my body with his teeth, dog bites. And even if I have to indulge in millions of sinful activities, I will never leave Vrindavan, the favorite forest of Sri Radha. You can see, this is strong Vrindavan Nishta. Which he has. Now, he has explained his own Nishta, but now he will jump out of the book Vrindavan Mahimamrita, which he does many times, and look directly into the eyes of his audience and chastise his audience. Get ready, Prabhus, you will be chastised. Oh, fools! Today or tomorrow you are destined to die. Then what will your wife and children do for you? Oh, brother, as long as you have got this body, you will continue to be afraid of death. Therefore, why are you not immediately rushing to Sri Vrindavan? At other times he says, do you think your chanting of mantras will save you from death? Then why don't you go immediately to Vrindavan? Are you not blind? Have you not directly seen what comes out from the holes of a woman's body? I will translate this for the Matajis. Are you not blind? Have you not directly seen what comes out from the holes of a man's body? Oh, brother! Oh, sister! Being captivated only by the external skin of a woman, a man, you are neglecting to live in Vrindavan? Oh, shame on you! Again he turns to us and he addresses us as samsarikas, that means persons who live in the ocean of birth and death. Do you know what is an octopus? It is a jelly-like thing which has these arms, and then he will take the arm, embrace his victim and bring it to his heart where he will eat it. This is carefully give up the formidable octopus in the form of I and mine, which is ready to swallow you. Then cross beyond the ocean of material existence, and you will find the blissful land of Vrindavan. No I and mine? That's an octopus. Cross beyond the ocean of material existence, samsaramburasim, and then you will find the Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. Now it will become a little easier, he will now again, we will now hear again about the transformative power of Vrindavan Dham. When people go into a discotheque, they experience heavy music and soon their bodies begin to move and their minds begin to move in the discotheque. That's why they like to go there and spend the after the Saturday and Sunday there. And here, this is transformative for them. They come to a different level. Vrindavan has also a transcendental transformative power. If any living entities, including worms and ants or any objects, either auspicious or inauspicious, receive an opportunity to enter the land of Vrindavan, then they automatically transform into Sachit Ananda, or eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. These unprecedented glories are incomprehensible to foolish people. Therefore, O intelligent persons, please take shelter of Vrindavan. Now to understand this, we have to understand something else. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes in one of the purports where he comments on the gopis who become attracted by Krishna's flute, that a sadaka has actually two bodies. This may come as a surprise to you, but please listen to enter the mystery of this understanding. There is a spiritual body and there is a material body. Now, depending on which of the two bodies you nourish, either the material body will become strong or the spiritual body will become strong. To make it a little clearer, if we only see external material sense objects, like we do in the West or out of the Dham, we will not be able to escape the nourishing of our material intelligence and our material mind. But if we take in spiritual sense objects, we will nourish our spiritual body. Devotees can experience this, for instance, when they chant in a very lively way the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. I must tell you about this experience from yesterday. I very much appreciated the reading yesterday and the accompanying kirtans and bhajans in the association of all of you. I came in the hall. I was practically dead. I had to lean against the wall and I was very, very exhausted. But as we were hearing and as we were chanting, I saw the strength of enthusiasm coming up in, welling up in my heart. And I was able to do without any sitting support, the wall and so on. It's a very obvious experience. When you feel down and with less energy, spiritual energy, the reason is very often that you have remained spiritually hungry. You have not given sufficient spiritual food to your spiritual existence. Therefore, devotees, therefore, my dear devotees, don't remain spiritually hungry. Be a little analytical. When you feel down, or when you feel a lack of interest in Krishna consciousness, when you feel that your emotions pull you to the material side, Hare Krishna. More will soon come. That is my prediction. When you feel this nourishment, lack of nourishment, don't despair. Don't become at all frustrated in your life. But just know, most probably, I need some spiritual nourishment. When we are materially hungry and depressed and down, we know immediately, okay, peanuts and raisins or anything. I have to start in the next 1 hour, otherwise I'm finished. I have to eat something. I even eat the chair if I don't get anything. I'm so hungry. When we are spiritually undernourished, we strangely lack this intelligence. Okay, maybe I should make a stop now and chant. I remember I had a tape once where devotees came to Prabhupada saying that they wanted to leave Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada asked why, and they said, well, we don't feel inspired, Srila Prabhupada. Then Prabhupada said, you try one thing. You go before the deities and you chant and you don't stop chanting before you feel inspired. And when the temple commander says you must do some service, you can say, Prabhupada said, we can chant before the deities. He had faith in this, which many serious devotees have experienced, that when they feel a lack of spiritual energy, they have to just simply nourish themselves more spiritual. And now comes this surprise. Vrindavan Dham is such a spiritual sense object. You become automatically transformed into Sachit Ananda. What this means is your spiritual body arises from undernourishment, O intelligent persons, please take shelter of Vrindavan. Now, if you want to take shelter, this will open the next item in Vrindavan. You must know how to live there. See, when you enter an atmosphere which is different from the other atmosphere in which you are knowledgeable to live, you must equip yourself. For instance, when you want to enter the ocean or the Yamuna, you must know how to swim. One of the teachers in the Vrindavan Gurukul is missing. He went at 9 o'clock in the night to fetch water from the Yamuna, and since 2 days he has not returned. And we all suspect very strongly that he has fallen into the Yamuna and has gone back to Godhead. When you come close to the Yamuna at Keshi Ghat, you must know how to swim. So when you live in Vrindavan, don't expect that with your Western concepts and Western lifestyles, you can live here. It is not possible. If you don't know the rules of living in this spiritual atmosphere, you will be expelled. One of my godbrothers, I will withhold his names, has suffered 15 years for the simple fact that he didn't know how to live in Vrindavan. He took a rickshaw from the city of Vrindavan, or it's called town of Vrindavan, to Krishna Balaram temple, and he had agreed with the rickshawala to pay, I forgot the amount, 15 rupees, let us say 15 rupees. What is a good amount? 10 rupees. That's a miserly amount. He had 12 rupees. And now, when they arrived in Krishna Balaram Mandir, for a reason which only the rickshawala knew, the rickshawala demanded 20 rupees. So, my godbrother friend, who is of an intense temperament and who has some experience in boxing, took his fist, made it a fist, and threatened him. This, the rickshawala, also insisted, 20 rupees, 20 rupees. And then my godbrother did this terrible mistake, which he has thrown him out of Vrindavan into the ocean of misery, into the ocean of divorce from his wife. It was a terrible time he went through. He took his fist and just hit the rickshawala, who was caught off balance and collapsed on the ground. The rickshawala, and now after he had done it, he immediately noticed what he had done. He had violated the laws for living in Vrindavan, and he immediately offered the rickshawala a 100 rupee note. But the rickshawala looked into his face, took his rickshaw, and just walked away. He did not accept the money, and now 15 years of suffering came upon this poor devotee. It's a very sad story. So if we enter this atmosphere of Vrindavan Dham, yes, we have heard now the glorifications, we have heard how the dust runs after you, we have seen Jai Gopal's dhoti as a proof, but now we have to live. What does it mean to live in Vrindavan? How, when do these results come into our lives? And I will now open a big chapter and go through some of the very important cardinal rules. Listen very carefully, and if you fall asleep, listen to the tape recording. It might be an information which brings you back to Godhead, and an information which prevents you from experiencing misery in your life. Many devotees nowadays, they will come to you and with some exciting gunda stories. This gunda did this, that gunda did that, and they robbed so and so Mataji's and gave her a child, and they did this, and be aware, Vrindavan is not safe, and so on. You must know some rules after the break in of the night. You should not go to certain areas of the town. You should not dress luxuriantly. Your zari or dhoti should not be plastered with American dollars, and so on. But if you the fears can go away if you know one essential rule which Prabhupada says. You must surrender to Krishna when you go to Vrindavan. The external approach of doing this is, as you come into the holy dham, Prabhupada said, we should throw ourselves down on the ground like Akrura and then offer our most humble obeisances, that I am now in your kingdom, O Queen of Vrindavan, O Krishna, O King of Vrindavan, please, I'm under your care from now on. Here is the verse. If I can remain in Vrindavan as a surrendered soul at the fearless lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, who are oceans of transcendental love, then I have nothing to fear from other living entities, religious principles, dreaded diseases, or even from the controller of the entire universe. bow down, mister. Bow down, mistress, or lady, when you come to Vrindavan and surrender your life to Radha and Krishna, then you will have nothing to fear from living entities, from religious principles. Like one day, I remember we went to the Radha Raman temple on Ekadasi and had a kirtan, and they threw their grain prasadam to us. And of course, I dove right in. Wow! When I was still young, I was impossibly enthusiastic, and ate the grain, and as it hit my stomach, I realized, grains on Ekadasi, then I have to go to hell. And I approached one of my god brothers and said, what to do now? I come to Vrindavan to eat grains on Ekadasi. This is how unfortunate I am. And he knew of this subject. He said, no, you're in the Dham. You have not done it intentionally. You have nothing to fear of religious principles here. Dreaded diseases, or even from the controller of the entire universe. I remember we had we have some friends amongst the Bridge Basis, and there we visited those friends, and the grandma was on her bed dying, and the father, her son came to her lovingly and whispered in her ear, Grandma, you have not yet gotten your letter from Radha? And Grandma was smiling blissfully. Not yet, but soon. Letter from Radha in the Brijbasi language means, now you come to me, now you go and leave the body. Nothing to fear in Braj. When and only when you can surrender. Another rule for living in Vrindavan is you must bathe yourselves in the soothing rays of tolerance. Aniruddha Prabhu, you are bathing in the sun. Now comes very interesting information. You must bathe yourself also in the soothing rays of the sun of tolerance. This is very important for living. Prabhupada Saraswati says, even after tolerating hundreds of kicks, millions of rebukes, as well as patiently tolerating hunger, thirst, winter, and hundreds of other obstacles, when will I wander about Vrindavan as a helpless beggar while shedding tears of lamentation? Be tolerant. Then you can enter the ocean of humility and actually be touched by Vrindavan Dham and wander around like a helpless beggar. You might ask, from where do I get the power, please, to be tolerant? And there's only one answer. The power for tolerance comes from bhajan. If you're intolerant always and I can't take that, I can't take that, I can't take that. You must improve your bhajan. If you have a bhajan which has holes like a Swiss cheese, you will most probably be very intolerant to what others do to you, what the environment does for you, to you, and especially those of us who have to do with culture shocks, come from comfortable Germany or comfortable America, and then this to be tolerant is very, very difficult. I know, but with bhajan it can come. And now I will do the last thing, and then we will make a creative pause. I want to give Prabodhananda Saraswati advice, which is very much the advice of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The The best way, really, to visit the Dham is if you chant constantly the holy names of Krishna. There's a very nice book. It is describing Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan from the perspective of Vrindavan Goswami's friends of the early times and so on. And they described that Srila Prabhupada was really constantly chanting. Like once, when Prabhupada visited Vrindavan, he just stayed at the Madan Mohan temple, and one pujari, who died when he was 120 years old, observed him there. Srila Prabhupada noticed Prabhupada was not going for visiting temples and having darshan. He was not going for shopping. He was not going to see different places of interest. Srila Prabhupada just sat down and chanted from morning till evening, and sometimes went to this little wall which is there in the Madan Mohan temple, from where you can overlook the Yamuna and the beautiful land of Vrindavan. Prabhupada chanted later when he came here as a sannyasi. He chanted in the night also, and in this way Vrindavan was he was there with a chanting mood. Dear friends, while constantly hearing and chanting the glories of Sri Radha Madhava, make your residence in the abode of Vrindavan. Dear friends, while describing the glories to the devotees of Radha Govinda, that is, preach, stay in Vrindavan. Dear friends, counsel the devotees who are of your same inclination and stay in this way in Vrindavan. In other words, give good advice for the devotees. Help devotees who are of your inclination. Dear friends, clean the groves of Vrindavan and stay in this way here. I want to encourage all of you, when you leave from Govardhan and go to eat prasadam and you see some plastic bags or bottles here, you can clean the grove of Giriraj by picking up the plastic bottle. It's not infectious. It's disinfected by the sun. And you can bring it on the right side to the entrance there is our Dwarka Ashram, which all I feel should be renamed. Why not Giriraj Ashram or something? Should maybe enter into some serious discussions with the owner. Bring something, cleanse Giriraj. That's an accepted service. That's what many devotees do, poor devotees, as service to Vrindavan Dham. They cleanse it from what the pilgrims throw there. In this way, stay in Vrindavan. You know, hear and chant. Describe the glories of Krishna to others. Counsel the devotees who are on the same platform. And clean the groves of Vrindavan. This cleaning is very, very good for you. It is therapeutic. When you go, maybe you go this side and then you take your right there. It's a very, very good. You will feel some good Krishna consciousness arise in your being. But most important, chant. Some of us, I know, have become a little shocked by Prabodhananda Saraswati's very strong statements, and I want to address now this quarter of my audience who say, You said we must, but we don't really, we come here for a visit. Is that not good enough? And so on. Why, oh, Krishna, these heavy words about what comes out of the body and attachments. I mean, be modern, please. So here, listen to it. Oh, dear devotees, if you cannot immediately give up all your dreamlike illusory activities, like Satchidananda Swami, then just constantly meditate on Sri Vrindavan while worshipping the divine young couple of Sri Radha and Krishna. Always chant their holy names, hear about their pastimes, and serve the residents of Vrindavan by supplying them food and clothes. In other words, you may not be able to stay here always, but you can think of Vrindavan as it is described in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, all these holy scriptures, as the divine eternal playground of the divine couple. And by meditating you can be connected, and that is also very good. And to serve the residents, we brought this year a huge, not a huge, but a banana box of cloth from the Brahma Jyoti in Germany. There is, you know, in all temples in Germany we have a Brahma Jyoti. That's where all identified, unidentified clothes goes. And there's good, and the people in the village will like it. But give it to someone who then distributes it. If you stand there and distribute, you, it will maybe not work so well. It's good to give it to a responsible person who knows who's in need and who's not. Mm-hmm. So we will now make a little pause. We will hear other advices how to live in Vrindavan. If you hear this more and more, you will actually understand that these advices are also good for the question, how can we live in Krishna consciousness? They are the same. And then we will go into a meditative thing. And then I want to narrate to you some pastimes in Vrindavan about Radha's flower garden, about the trees of Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. So I hope to see you in 15 minutes again. Please be back in time.